Thank you, Eric, for sharing that message with us. Something we need to hear, and that's what apologetics is all about. You know, defending what we believe. And that's part of the problem with the church in general. We don't know what we believe or why we believe it or how to defend it. And if we do that job right, we won't need Eric to preach at us anymore, right? But anyway, thanks for the message. And we'll take a few minutes now for Q&A. So if you have a question, put up your hand. I'll bring the mic around so people can hear the question. We'll record it and Eric's response as well. And while you're thinking about your question, we're going to do a free will offering to cover the running of this ministry. So if you want to be part of that, feel free to contribute as the two men come forward here. So who has a question that they would like to ask of Eric?
Hello. So I was wondering what you do when I have a brother that doesn't seem to believe in the law of non-contradiction, that if A is true and B is true and A is true and I think A is true, he thinks B is true, he thinks they can both be true at the same time when they contradict. And what do you do with that? There are people that don't believe in the law of non-contradiction.
I think you have to examine which what topic is being talked about and what's being purported as truth and fallacy. So you have to look at each thing. There can be two answers to the same question about some questions, but when it comes to the Bible, either the Bible is true or it's not. And, you know, a lot of people have given their lives along the way if it's not true. And, of course, that's possible that people could be deluded to do that. But when we have all the facts and all the evidence we do about the truth of the scriptures, with archaeology giving us more of that truth all the time, I just keep pointing people back to the scripture. Whenever, and this really doesn't answer your question because I'm not sure there's a set pat answer for what you're asking, but whenever people want to argue about something that I know has evidence in scripture, I just let the Bible do my talking for me because it'll talk a lot better than me. It'll communicate way better than me, more powerfully by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within it. So let the Bible do your talking whenever possible.
My friend asked me, she couldn't be here today, so she's listening on the streaming. And she asked me to ask you, how is this going to affect the colleges today?
You mean Christian colleges?
Well, that's actually a good point. Yes, Christian colleges.
So how is postmodernism has already affected the colleges, and it's already affected the Christian colleges as well, I can tell you that much. Is it Ken Ham, I think, that has a list of the Christian colleges that have still held to the doctrines of the faith?
And of creationism, six-day creation.
Well, that and the doctrines of the faith themselves, I think, and there's less than a dozen of them. If I remember correctly, I saw it at one point. I haven't seen Ken in quite a while. We did a conference together last time I saw him, but I mean, it's already happened. And the world around us, the world has decided postmodernism is a way to decide what truth is. If they hadn't decided that, we wouldn't have Common Core education. Because Common Core is there's no answer for anything. Any answer is good. Talk about the law of contradictions or non-contradiction, you know. Because Common Core says that it doesn't matter what the answer is as long as you tried. I wonder how many people were destroying their creativity and their drive and how many things will be lost for the culture and for us. That's a great way to dumb down a generation and dumb down a country. Next.
Any more questions? Yeah, here's one.
My question is about contemplative prayer. Is that pretty big in the emergent church, and is it big in the colleges now, Christian colleges?
Well, contemplative prayer is really an outgrowth of the emergent church, and when I mentioned a little while ago that they were looking for a spiritual experience, so they adopted mysticism, I could have really said contemplative prayer right there, or contemplative prayer, whichever way you pronounce that, and you see it there. And when I was talking about they've gone back to the Catholic mystics, That's exactly what we're talking about. In fact, when the Pope was in New York, you may remember that he mentioned Thomas Merton as one of the four great Americans he wanted to honor. And Thomas Merton is one of the three sages of the contemplative emergent movement. He's a Catholic mystic who's deceased. But he was one of the three. A couple of the others were JFK and Abraham Lincoln. But he named a contemplative mystic. And that should tell you a lot right there. But it's a revival of old mysticism. It really never died. It's just gotten widespread acceptance now. It's more culturally accepting in Protestant circles.
Any other hands with questions? Okay, if not, we'll close this session out. And again, thank you, Eric, for
thank you.
Your talk.